Matthew chapter 1. So we are in Matthew chapter 2. It's weird how that works. Gretchen, would you like to open us up in prayer? All right, so Matthew chapter 2, and let's go ahead and read verses 1 and 2. Emily, would you like to read that, please? So the Bible is like this huge onion. Onion. Wait for it. Not because if you get into it, it's going to make you cry at some point. Because it has layers. I was thinking of that movie when I said that too. But so the Bible can say, in just a few words, it can say a lot. There's a lot of information in just those two verses. If you really dig deep in there and you peel back layers, there's a lot there. So we have all heard, probably everybody in here has probably been in a Christmas play or so. When they're younger, right? Maybe, probably all, or even last year. But so we've all heard of the wise men, right? Our magi. Some of your translations might say magi. They came to do what? What were they doing? Huh? Yeah, what were the wise men doing? Bringing gifts. But they came to seek out who? Jesus, right? And tradition has them as three wise men, right? Three wise men from the east. Now, and where do we get that? Is because there's three gifts. We don't actually know exactly how many, but these men would have been traveling, probably not, more than likely not as three, but there had been a whole caravan. Right, they would have had people helping them, because traveling in those days, it would be very dangerous, or it was very dangerous in small groups. And then, why did they come? Why did they come at that point? What does it say? You know, they came because they saw something. They saw a star, right? Because they saw a new star rising in the night sky. Now, there are prophecies, right? We know there's prophecies written in the Bible, but there's also prophecies that are not written in the Bible, that are written out there in other places than, you know, Jerusalem or Israel. Some suggest that they were watching one of those prophecies. One of those prophecies in the star was the sign to begin that prophecy. Early Christians have named these three wise men. There's Balthazar, Melchior, and Jasper. That's a normal name, right? Then Jasper, kind of, you know, some people translate it Casper. And all coming from different regions. That's the tradition, is that they all come from different regions. And the farthest being India. So during Christmas, when you're setting up the nativity scene, right, the wise men would not be there in that stable the night Jesus was born. Because if it was truly India. Traveling by camel, you usually could probably cover about 30 miles a day. India's 3,000 miles away from Israel. So if that was the case, even if they were in Iraq, which is 1,300, I think. Even if they were in Iraq or Babylonia, they would take a little bit, right? It'd take a little bit to get there. So as soon as they saw the star, that's when Jesus was born, they're not going to be at the stable. So you should probably put those wise men on the other side of the room, traveling over. But tradition has it that they're in the stable, right? You know, tradition over the years can get a little askew. But I believe that it still comes from the truth. It's just sometimes we make things simpler. Some people celebrate on January 6th, where the children write these three wise men letters, and then they travel by camel at night and deliver gifts. That's over in Spain, I guess, happens. They still do that. There's a lot of different sources throughout, and I want you, by telling you all this, I want to tell you that there's a lot of different sources throughout history what backs up the Bible. Has things what will coincide and, you know, go alongside the Bible and have historic facts about that Jesus really lived. But remember that the Bible is the one source you can 100% trust. If you're reading something what contradicts the Bible, don't trust it. You know, if it contradicts, be leery of that. Now the Bible doesn't really go into all these details about the wise men. And I feel like that's not the important part of that detail. You know, it's not the important part about who these wise men were. The important thing is what these wise men did. You know, they didn't, you know, once they saw the star, what did they do? They started their travels, right? You know, they didn't worry about how long this was going to take. Almost 2 years. They didn't worry about, you know, who knew they were seeking out Jesus. They didn't worry about if they would never find the King of Jews. They didn't worry about any of that because they had faith. Proverbs, you might want to keep your finger in Matthew's, but Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Elena, can you read that? In James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. God promises if you earnestly seek him, you will find him. Jesus doesn't play keep away. You know, he will let you find him. He will run to you, actually. He'll come to you if you're seeking him. In Matthew verses 3-6. Kayla, can you read that? Sure. And Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this it is written by the prophet, that you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judea. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So King Herod, the king, you know, historically known for a guy worried about losing his crown. He murdered brothers, he murdered cousins, he murdered sons worried that they were going to take his power away from him. So when the wise men were asking questions, it troubled them, right? It troubled them. Trouble meaning concerning or questioning. You know, so when all of Jerusalem was questioning who is the king of the Jews, and it wasn't talking about Herod, it troubled them, right? It troubled them deeply. So what did he do? Here's this guy, he's troubled, and what did he do? He did what? He does, but what did he do just now in that last little passage we read? He made a call. He made a phone call to whom? We just read this, right? Yeah, a phone call. He literally picked up his cell phone and typed in 911. No, he called his wise men, his own wise men, right? He called them. He gathered them together, right? He gathered them together. So he called them out, and what was he trying to figure out? Where Jesus was born. Exactly. You know, so they were trying to figure out, predict. And they found the answer, right? They found the answer. Was it in a secret place where nobody could get? No. No, they found the answer in their Bible, right? In their Bible, it's actually out of Micah chapter 5, 2. Don't turn there. But because we just read what it has in Micah 5, 2. These wise men knew all kinds of knowledge. And I'm talking about Herod's wise men. They knew all kinds of knowledge, but they did not apply the truth to their lives. You know, the term wise would be kind of misused then, right? Because if you're wise, you should be applying the truth to your life. You know, the Pharisees in Jesus' day did the same thing. They knew all kinds of facts. And they've seen all kinds of signs. They saw all kinds of miracles. Yet they still hardened their hearts, worried about themselves, worried about change. When we worry, we can make a huge and awful decision. In 1 Peter, keep your finger in Matthew. 1 Peter, it's towards the back. So you're going to be going right. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6, 7, and 8. TJ? 6, 7, and 8 in chapter 5. Adversaries.
The devil walks
adversities
about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour.
Telling you not to worry is probably like telling you not to breathe, right? Because in life, there will be worries, right? There will be worries. Worries will happen. But we need to train up, what do we do with our worries? And that is to go to Jesus with them. You know, don't let them fester. Don't let them grow into fear. Don't let them guide your life. Because that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. That's what he's talking about devouring, because it will devour your life if you just keep a worry and live with worry all your life. But let Jesus lead and let us follow him. Back in Matthew chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Brendan?
Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also."
All right. So why do one of you think that Herod wanted to determine the time when the star first appeared? To see how old Jesus was. Exactly. To find out that age. You know, Herod himself even called him a young child, not an infant or baby. So he knows it's a child, right? Herod. Is it? Herod. Herod, sorry. Do you think Herod wanted to worship Jesus?
No.
No. But he told them to come back because he wanted to worship him. He didn't lie, did he?
He lied.
He lied. You know, Herod met in secret, right? He met in secret, it says. And the reason for that, he wanted to get rid of Jesus, so nobody else would be none the wiser, right? He wanted to do this secretly and quietly so there wouldn't be anybody questioning it. So verses 9 through 12 in Matthew. Brandon? All the way through 12. So we know in chapter 1 why Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem, right? Correct? So why was that? Because Jesus is going to be born. And every Jewish leader or every Jewish person would go to Bethlehem to have their babies born there, right? No. So why'd they go there? Huh? No. There was something going on. The government was putting on something. That's to wake you up. Anybody at all? Oh, Gretchen. Oh, a census, right? A census was going on. So that's why they went to Bethlehem. So they went there. Did they live in Bethlehem? No, they didn't live in Bethlehem. So I'm sure if you didn't live somewhere, you know, it's not like when we had Brianna at the hospital, we didn't start living at the hospital. So when the baby and the mother, Mary, was able to travel, they probably went home, right? So they're not, don't still be in Bethlehem. So they went home. And we're not sure exactly where that was. It could have been in Jerusalem. You know, it could have been the right behind Herod's palace. You know, it could have been. So they might not have had very hard travel. Now, the star appears again, right? So if it appears again, that means it disappeared. You know, the star, what appeared, led them exactly where Jesus was staying now, the wise men. Then the wise men gave Jesus how many gifts? 3 gifts, right? The first one was gold. Was gold. And this was a gift given to kings, right? Because Jesus is the King of Kings, right? And the second was frankincense, which is an incense given to priests. And Jesus is the high priest of all the priests. And then the third was myrrh. With two R's, exactly. Now, this ointment was used for healing. Jesus is the great physician. But myrrh is also used for another thing. It's used for embalming corpses. For Jesus was born so he could die. He was born to die to save the lost. In verses 13 through 15, CJ? Yep, chapter 2. So another prophecy comes true, right? This time out of Hosea chapter 11, 1. You know, all these prophecies being fulfilled is simply a miracle in itself. It's kind of crazy. I mean, you think about it. Who would think Jesus would come out of a foreign country and he's called up and everything? You know, just the orchestration of that, just going through all that, you know, fulfilling all these prophecies. I mean, we just read how two of the prophecies were filled right now. But there was many more. And then in 16 through 18, Nick, can you read that? 16
through 18.
Yep. Here we do find out that these events, and when I said put the wise men across the room, it'd probably be not even put the wise men until 2 years after, right? Because we find out it's probably about 2 years. Jesus is about around 2 years of age, because Herod, you know, he killed all the kids 2 years or younger, so that they could have been 2 years. He was probably a little under 2 years. Yes, Nick, do you have a question? That is true. That is true. Maybe put them out in July, halfway in this. Right. You know, that was the target age he did. But why did innocence die? You know, in life, bad things happen. And it's not from God, but from the evil that lies in men's hearts. You know, evil cannot exist on its own, for it is an absence of good. And that's what makes evil. It's kind of like a hole. Holes are real, but holes cannot exist by themselves. They need something to be absence for there to be a whole, right? Like dirt, your genes, something. You know, it all began in the Garden of Eden, where the first sin happened, where the disobeying in separation from God. You know, God gives us a freedom to choose good. You know, in order to have a real choice, God has to allow us to choose to reject good. If we didn't have free will, we would be worshiping God out of obligation, not by choice, not by love. If God wanted robots, he would have made robots, right? In Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 34. Far enough. Gretchen, did I call on you yet? As infinite humans, I don't try to use big words because I don't know how to say them. But we can never fully understand an infinite God. There are times that you'll have and you think you understand why God did something, only to find out later you were wrong. I've done that. You know, there's going to be some mysteries, like is tomato a fruit or a vegetable? They still have debates about that. That we may never know this side of heaven. Death is something everybody is going to go through. It's part of life. It's the end of part of life, but it's part of life. Sometimes it doesn't seem fair. You know, I've had loved ones that have passed way too soon. You know, what if they had more time? What if this? What if that? You know, the world is full of a never-ending list of what ifs. God does not have what ifs. God knows everything. He foresees everything. You know, we could just look at this chapter, what we just started reading. The orchestration of everything fitting together perfectly, like a jigsaw puzzle, right? Three prophecies coming true, showing that if we seek out the Lord, we will find him. Showing us that there will be wise men who reject God. The stars in the night sky obeying God's every whim. And the gifts that Jesus received and the meanings behind those gifts. And that's just in 18 verses. God has a plan. He has a plan for everybody in this room. And I hope that plan for me is what to do, not what not to do. So how about you guys? What do you hope your plan is in life? Huh? Matthew, we're back in Matthew, verses 19 through 23. Would you like to read?
Now when Herod was dead,
But when? Arculus, something like that.
Arculus was
reigning.
Reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod. He was afraid to go there, and being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called a
Nazarene. Yet another prophecy coming true, right? God just provided, God providing that he is the master, knowing everything and has an order for everything. In Joshua 24:15. Yeah, 24 verse 15. She already read. So, there are going to always be those men who reject Jesus. But as for me and my household, I will serve the Lord. Where do you stand? Where do you guys stand this morning? If you haven't made a choice, you know, today is the day. Today is the day. Jesus is waiting for you to draw near to him so he can draw near to you, right? He just wanted to do this since the beginning of time. You know, he's known you from the beginning of time. Think about that. He's loved you from the beginning of time. And he wants to draw near to you guys. Kayla, can you end us in prayer?